Welcome to the number 7 Weird for Good Hangout, and I'm encouraged that you're back with us again this week to join us for a dynamic discussion that may be based on my blog, or maybe not. We'll see what happens today. I want to welcome Michael Wright with us again, and Michael's blog is fatherofone.com, where you can read about what's going on in his life and some really deep thoughts on the life of a Christian father, and I encourage you to check out his blog. So welcome, Michael.
Good to be here, Aaron. Thanks. Thanks for having me.
Great, great. Glad to have you. Let's start out this week. The title of my writing last week was Big Bad Wolves Are Eating You Alive, Why Feed Them? And we'll just kind of leave that where it's at. I won't read you the whole blog today. I do want to start out with where I ended, and this is a story that I don't think it has a specific origin. It's sort of a parable. And so the parable is this, the story of two wolves. An old Cherokee chief was teaching his grandson about life. A fight is going on inside me, he told the young boy. A terrible fight between two wolves. One is evil, full of anger, sorrow, regret, greed, self-pity, and false pride. The other is good, full of joy, peace, love, humility, kindness, and faith. The same fight is going on inside of you, grandson, and inside of every other person on this earth. The grandson ponders this for a moment and then asks, Grandfather, which wolf will win? The old man smiled and simply said, the one you feed. So, which wolf are we feeding? and that's where I want to start out today. So, Michael, you said when we were talking a little bit before that you've heard this parable before. How does it hit you today?
It just rings true. I think the first time I heard it, it was like, wow. It was like an epiphany. Like, wow. It put a real picture to what I kind of knew to be true. But wolves are powerful creatures, and you know, it's kind of like they can be on. You want them on your side. You definitely don't want them against you. And to think that you're feeding, you know, that like a negative or evil side of, you know, that feeding into one or the other is really your choice. You know. So it's, yeah. I've always loved that story about the wolves and which one that you feed, because it rings so true for I think anybody can relate to that. It's just that story we always hear about, you know, the good and bad side that, you know, you got the angel on one side, the devil on the other side, which I don't necessarily buy into all that, but it's like we do have a certain nature within us, and I think it goes all back to attitude and how we decide to act on things.
Yeah, so I think you make a great point about the angel and the devil on the shoulder, the kind of cartoon version I can remember growing up. But even in that case, this wolf story puts a neat twist on that, where instead of the angel and the devil sort of tempting you and sort of having power over you, this story flips that situation, which I love it when you can become the owner. You can become the one in charge. You can become the one who's making your own choices for your life, rather than a force that's pushing you around and knocking you from side to side. Mm. So, in this story, it's a slight twist, but to me, it's the whole difference is that which wolf are we feeding, and that puts the power in our hands. And I say, oh, wait a minute, maybe I've been feeding the wrong wolf. Obviously, if I'm having a day or a week, or if there's a part of my life that when I think about it, it drags me down. I'm wondering, okay, have I been feeding the wolf of negativity? Have I been spending my time and energy and mental resources feeding that negative wolf, thinking about the worrying, thinking about the bad possibilities, thinking about a future that hasn't been created yet that I perceive to be a negative thing, I think is all feeding the evil wolf. So, yeah. I mean, I think that's pretty straightforward, but it's pretty powerful, though, really.
Yeah. Those are, the thing is, it's so natural for that negativity to. I mean, you really have to make a conscious effort to feed the right wolf, right? You really have to, because it seems like that other wolf, he's just going to get his nourishment anyway. It's just like the world's just feeding him automatically. I mean, it seems like that sometimes, the negativity and the, it seems like there's a lot of, you know, we tend to put negative spins on things. You watch the news. I mean, that's the only news you're going to find, is something that's going to grab your attention, get you anxious, get you nervous, get you depressed. I mean, I challenge anybody to watch, you know, the news, two or three hours of news every day, and for a week, and remain positive. It's just, it would be hard to do that, because you're feeding that part of you that seems to so readily accept bad news, bad attitudes, and yeah, you have to be aware of that.
Yeah, that's so right on with the culture. The cultural backdrop is to push your buttons one way or another. And every once in a while, they'll spice in a little feel-good story that'll make you cry. But usually, it's something that's going to instill fear or worry or, you know, the apocalypse or something. And therefore, the evil wolf is getting a lot of nourishment there. So if I know, you know, that I want to feed, or that I'm doing the feeding, here's something that I think is maybe a step ahead of that. And I put this sentence in the blog, in my writing, and I get this from Wayne Dyer, but it's very simple. The sentence is, I want to feel good. Is that too basic? You know, like
it almost here. It sounds funny hearing that said. If I was to say that to myself, I want to feel good. Well, duh. It's like, you do want to feel good. Well, how come I don't feel good? If you, it seems so elementary, but maybe we need to get back to the basics here. Maybe we need just to start. I think some people need to start with, I just want to feel good, because they haven't even fed that wolf a crumb of good, you know, a good, healthy, nourishing diet in months or years, and they just need to start off with, I just want to feel good.
Yeah, so there's a decision, right? And we can get our commitments in our lives and our directions from our decisions and our commitment. So a commitment to, I want to feel good. Well, that's a pretty powerful thing. I remember Wayne Dyer talking about how, you know, that is, I think it was a joke, but he talks about, you know, that's his answering machine message on his phone is, hello, you've reached Wayne Dyer, and I want to feel good. If your message is designed to do anything other than that, you know, call someone else. Call Dr. Phil. You know, that was straight out of one of his presentations. But nice. I just love that, because it's a conscious thing. It's a decision that we're going to make, and we're going to say, yes, I do want to feel good. So therefore, if I'm feeling bad, am I feeding that wolf that is creating that bad feeling in there? And would I like to shift that up? Would I like to find a way to recognize that, find that? You know, my sort of three-word equation is find, focus, create. So it's like, find that thing that's going on. Be aware. It's always the awareness first, you know, and then focus on it, you know, get specific. come up with a plan, you know, and then create, there's your action. So it's like make a new choice, play with choices, talk to someone else who's in a different state of consciousness than you, someone who's going to, you know, try to either bring you up to the level you want to be or show you that you're already higher than you think you are on the ladder or something. So
yeah, I think sometimes people, they get used to being in a certain mode or a certain attitude, and they just kind of, because it really, you do have to put effort into having a good attitude. I mean, I'll be honest, I don't wake up most mornings with a, just wanting to hit the road running. I mean, I have to do steps, and over time, it really does work this way, that the more, it's just like your body, the more healthier you eat, the more your body kind of desires that. Now, if I start eating pizza and ice cream every day, then that's kind of what I want to eat. I just want to eat chips, or you just want to go down that road. But it's like once you start feeding your mind and working with someone, especially that can add that extra kick into your life and kind of guide you where you can't see, because it's hard to see yourself where you're at sometimes. And if you have some outside eyes to come in and say, hey, I see that you have this specific attitude towards your career or your whatever, counselors are good at that, your marriage or your personal life or some kind of issue, and you might just need a tune up, you might need a complete overhaul, but it's always good to have that outside eyes to kind of see kind of where you're at, you know. And you think things are going really, really well, but there's a whole lot more potential there. So
yeah, great point. I'm going to take what you just said. When things are going well, and there might be more potential. You know, there's a book that I've got right up here on the shelf, Good to Great, and to be quite honest, I've not read the whole thing, but I think the opening sentence or the opening paragraph says, you know, good is the enemy of great. And what a message that is, that says, you know, good can keep us stuck. That's where I brought some of the writing to this week as well, is that, you know, not all things are bad. You know, we were talking about the bad wolf and the good wolf. So here's some of what I wrote. Not all things are bad, and that's why we stay stuck. Some things, we do see some things as naturally good. So we expect to keep our eye out for more good situations or people or opportunities to show up. Like, it's sort of that positive thinking attitude where, like, I'm just going to see, when I see some good situations, I'll see some more, right? Like, they'll attract each other. And then we want to grab a hold of the ones we already see as good and grip them with an iron fist. We get the feeling that the world has a lack of good things and that we should make the most out of the ones we get. And I think that's sort of a scary thing or a bold idea to put out there, is that this is actually seeing those certain things as good in our lives and saying, well, you know, you got to take the good days when they come, or, you know, you can't win them all, that sort of thing, is a real insidious attitude of lack that can keep us stuck on the small good things we have, and we're not going to let go of those in order to reach for something bigger that could be more powerful, more profound, more important for us to be sharing ourselves with the world, because we're playing in the small world of the small good things that we have. And, you know, I'm surely here to say I'm thankful for what I have in my life that's good. But, you know, this sort of, the thing that I'm talking about in the blog is more of an attitude of release, more of an attitude of seeing things as neutral, choosing which wolf you want to feed, but moving constantly and kind of opening up. You know, it's that open-handed way of living versus gripping onto all my good stuff and just holding it tight. Does that make sense to you, Michael?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Also, that book you mentioned, Good to Great, I remember hearing that guy speak. And in that book, I think, is also this concept of you might be doing a bunch of good things, but really you need to make a habit of stopping some good things so you can move on to some great things. That just because it's a good thing you're doing, or it might seem like kind of what you were saying, it can get in the way of bigger things. So just because you're doing something that's good doesn't mean that it's something that you should be doing. And you can spend your whole life or your entire day, your whole year doing things that are productive and what you think are good, but there's you realize there's a lot. You kind of lose sight that there's more out there. There's a greater potential in you. So.
Yeah, I love word pictures and visual descriptions. And one of them from a coach, it was possibly Michael Neal or possibly Steve Hardison, but you know, the word picture is, what if you found out that you had created a masterpiece quality painting on 1 square inch in the corner of a 70-foot canvas? You know, it's like, you know, what if we found that this life that we have poured ourselves into and we're rightfully so proud of, because it is a masterpiece, it is something special, it is our creation, but what if it was 1 square inch of a 70-foot canvas? So, you know, man, that really sets up some, that stretches my mind open a little bit.
Yeah, one of the young guys, I was talking with a young guy this weekend, and he's always, ever since he's young, you know, in school and then in business, he's always succeeded in whatever he's done. And but, you know, he's never really had a problem succeeding in whatever he set his mind to do, but now he's decided he wants to do some bigger things, much, much bigger things. And for the first time, he's a very confident young man, but he can't figure out why he's scared. He's not scared, but he's fearful. And we kind of figured out his canvas is getting a lot bigger. And he had been sticking to things, I mean, you know, not great job, great at athletics and sports. He's a great husband. But he'd been sticking in with smaller canvases, as you would say. So, and now that he's got a bigger canvas, much bigger, he's putting himself out there. But he's finding himself, he's growing like never before. So I think that's a good example from what you're saying, is someone that is deciding that they're gonna move on to bigger things. So.
Yeah, so that's beautiful and creates fear, and it creates doubt, and it creates stress, right, when we get outside of our comfort zone. So in that case, and this is really, I'm going to come kind of, we're creeping back up to the main point of the writing this week, which I love that. This is saying, are those things bad? Can we say that those feelings are bad for this young man or anyone watching this who has stretched outside their comfort zone and now they feel a little scared or a lot scared, or they feel lonely, or they feel detached, or they feel confused and lost? Are those bad things when someone is in the growth process?
I'm beginning to realize, Aaron, that if you're not scared, if you don't have a little bit of fear, then something is really wrong. That means you're just sitting there watching traffic go by and your life is just sitting there. And it's like, if you don't have those moments of where you just have this little tinge of, like, you know, is it going to happen or not? And you know, it's and this young man, he's going to do this regardless. I mean, he senses some fears there. It's kind of new to him, but I don't see him backing away. He's put himself in a position where he's fully capable and fully going forward, and things are coming together for him. So when he has that fear, he just realizes that's just part of it. When you're walking into something new, and you just, but to the analogy of the wolves, do you feed it and just keep feeding it until it becomes so big that it just stops you in your tracks, or do you do things and have attitudes that feeds the part of you that will continue walking into that bigger story, that bigger place? And I think that's what you have to do. So that fear is really an indication that you're doing something good, I think, in a not fear of life, not fear of, but when you're on a path and you start feeling a little bit of fear, I think that means you're in a good place. So,
well, that I agree with you only in the fact that it is true and hard at the same time, right? Like, that's just as true as it is hard. And so, but what if we can kind of get that it's true? What if we could sort of intellectually begin to understand that and then live in to our day, live into something small that's right in front of us in a fearful way and take that step, you know, just take another step. And the getting to the beginning point of what I wanted to write about here is, you know, when I have a situation in my mind, and I don't know about you, but I have the trains of thousands of thoughts that go round and round in my head, you know, as soon as you wake up in the morning or whatever. And when I have one of those that's in there, and it's got full of fear, it's full of doubt, it could be full of anger, it could be full of pettiness, it could be full of, well, all the stuff that the wolf, you know, story had, regret, greed, self-pity, things like that. When I decide that's bad, when I decide that that situation that I'm thinking about is bad, or that wolf is evil and bad, then that is what feeds that wolf. That is what speeds up those trains. That is what, you know, energizes the negativity, is when I decide that it's a bad thing. But what you and I just talked about is that it's not necessarily a bad thing. It means that I'm on a path. It means that, you know, in order to grow a muscle, it's got to tear, and tearing hurts a little bit. It makes it sore, right? So when I decide that pain is bad, then I suffer. But it's not because of the action or the situation or the actual pain. It's because I decided that it's bad. And I have control over what I decide in that moment. And that's got to take some practice. But what if we didn't even know that? What if I didn't know that till just last week in my life? You know? That I could decide that doesn't mean it's bad. I mean, you talk to one guy and you say it's going to rain today, and he says, oh, that's bad. You know, I got to drive to work in the rain. People will be driving crazy, sliding off the road or something. And talk to another guy, it's raining. Oh, it's great. My crops need rain. You know, we're just going to put our own judgment on, everyone's going to put a judgment onto any situation that's out there or in their own lives. And sometimes you talk to someone who's maybe had a devastating disease like cancer, and it opened up their world, you know, in some fantastic way. So for myself, you know, a few years ago on Easter morning, I was sitting in a jail cell in Franklin County, Kansas, you know, right where I live. And that was a pretty bad moment for me. You know, I decided that was bad, and I had a lot of pain and suffering after that. But now, at 17 months and a few days of sobriety, I can look back and say, wow, that was a real turning point for me. That was a fork in my road that I took a different path eventually after that. So, you know, the judgment around a situation, the judgment of these wolves, can really drag us into deep places if we use our powerful minds to kind of, you know, solidify that judgment of negativity, that judgment of something that's bad or if it's good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I noticed when my daughter would have a, like, kindergarten, first grade, second grade, they have these little plays, right? And so she's up there. Last year she had this lead part, and she's up there talking and talking and talking. And I noticed none of these kids are really nervous, but you throw 10 adults up there and tell them to give a speech, you got a different story on your hand. And I just got to thinking, why is that? And it's just like we've had these same situation, same words, same script, but one side, the children are not nervous, the adult would be nervous. And why is that? It's just things we've concocted in our own minds to perceive the situation as there's all these, I think false expectations in our minds that we are, you know, if we look silly or if we forget our lines, then we'll look stupid or dumb. But if we could just somehow get removed, get outside of that, and, it takes the pressure off a lot of that. So you can turn fear, what might be a fearful situation, into a very pleasant situation. I don't know. It's all in how we perceive what's going on, and if we can somehow get outside of that, I think we'll make a lot of progress.
Well, I think you're right. An intentional decision to feel good is a place to start, and then watching that, being aware of this idea, you know, just for the next couple of days. If you're watching this online, just sit outside your own mind for a little bit, a couple times a day, and say, you know, how am I doing? How am I feeling? Like, I'm going to walk up to Michael and pat him on the back. How are you feeling? Except for it's going to be myself. And are we feeling good? But if you've never done any of this kind of work before, if these are brand new ideas for you, it's really powerful and can give you some new perspectives on the most deep situations that are going on in my life. This is kind of a weird reference, but when I was writing this blog, I pulled up the clip from the movie 8 Mile with Eminem. I don't know if you've ever seen it, Michael, but
it's been a while. Yeah, I think it first came out. Yeah.
Right. So Eminem battles the crew, the rival crew, you know, in whatever four epic rap battles throughout the movie. The very first one, the guy goes first and makes fun of him in the rap battle, which is what you do. You tear down the other guy, and he got all choked up. He couldn't even speak and had to walk out of there, and the whole place, you know, was booing him and making fun of him on the first one. As he goes along, he, you know, has troubles and trials and tribulations, and he grows in confidence. By the last battle, with the most feared rap, you know, villain guy of the movie, what does Eminem do? But he starts out and tells all the dirty secrets of his own life. You know, in his words, he brings all his own junk and, you know, does what the other guy would normally do, which is to tear you down. He just tells all of his own honesty right there. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So it's like he takes a situation. This is fearful. What if people found this out about me? You know, what if someone knew that I think like this? What if someone knew that this is going on in my life? Like you said, what if I was embarrassed? Because I look silly or stupid. And it's like in this movie clip, I think it's great because he just brings it all to the table first, and his closing line is something about, you know, now tell the crowd something that they don't already know about me, you know? And it's like then the guy's got nothing and he wins the battle and, you know, the good guy wins in the end. But could we do that with ourselves? Could we actually bring our own junk up, as we've talked about before on these hangouts, and sort of say, you know, this is where I'm at. I'm gonna do something here, Michael, if you don't mind. I'm gonna do the weatherman pointing. Can you see in the video where my finger is pointing right now? Do you see anything on the wall over there?
A sofa.
Okay, well, just above the sofa. If you can't see it, there's a hole in the wall.
Okay. A hole. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
There's a hole in the wall. Yeah,
see
right somewhere over there?
So yeah,
anyway, there's a hole in the wall. That is a sheetrock wall that we put up when I bought this house and remodeled it, and I punched a hole in it one time. That was like 8 years ago, a drunken, crazy night in a fight with a, you know, girlfriend at the time. And so, you know, that was a bad thing. I felt bad about that for a long time and would be embarrassed about that thing that I did that was a bad thing. To punch a hole in your wall in a fit of rage or something. But you know what? Now I look back on that, and that's not me anymore. That's not my life anymore. But it's a great reminder that, you know, how far I've come. So all these situations are neutral, and that's what I want to throw out here today. Our situations in life are neutral. We are going to judge them one way or another, but that judgment is our choice, and it'll probably change over time. And it can even change in the moment when you're having it. If you, you know, want to be like Michael and myself and try to work on some of these things and do some out of the box thinking, I think. And
And also, just add one. I don't know how much time we have left, Aaron. But also, I like that neutral thinking a lot. And but also, I think there's certain things that are true about every one of us, and sometimes when things are kind of coming at us, just to go and remember kind of who we are, remember some things that are true about each of us, and I won't go into what all that is, but I mean, I'm sure most people can figure that out, but just remembering that we're feeding a false self, and a lot of times we just need to feed what is true to our innermost core, that is just true about us as human beings, and that sometimes that makes all the difference.
Yeah, it does, Michael, and that's so powerful. I wouldn't mind if you just unpack what your version of that is a little bit in your silky southern voice. It's going to sound good, I'm sure, so... What does that mean to you?
Well, to me, I mean, to me, I'm created by God. I am a, you know, Christ is my brother. I am a co-heir with Christ. I have been given authority with Christ. I have power over all enemies. I have power over negative thoughts. I have... I am righteous through Him. I mean, I am. I'm to receive every blessing under the heavenlies, as Ephesians says. That's just the frosting on top of the cake. I mean, I'm not even can even name all them, but I am the salt and light to the earth. These are things I have to remind myself of often because I don't feel like salt and I don't feel like light a lot. But I have to stop, remember that, yes, I am those things. And so that just puts to rest a whole lot of junk that can come, negative energy coming from yourself, other people, other worldly things, in my opinion, that just try to come against you and you just put a stop sign and say, no, that's just not true. It's just not true. So that's what it means for me is coming out of a biblical truth, Aaron, of who I am and the world that I live in.
Man, that's powerful. That's awesome. And I not only echo what you're saying, but, you know, for me, this twist that I'm just seeing this week and my little twist on that is not only that we can stop those things, but that we can be strong enough in that knowing that we welcome all to us. And, you know, just like the examples that Jesus showed us is, he didn't just hang out with the holy people. He didn't just hang out, you know, with those that knew the law. And he took all comers. And so we can take all situations when we are, you know, when we're in the strength and the love of God, we're that powerful. And we can take them, and then we can stop them, or we can rebuke them, or we can do a lot of things from that point. But a lot of times what we saw in examples was that taking in something negative from that perspective, you can turn it into something good. You know, you can perform a mini miracle in your life right now when you are open to all things coming at you.
Absolutely. And I was introduced to it's a documentary about football, but it's not really about football. It's called Undefeated. It's been out about a year. And one of the guys I know, he said, "You've got to get this documentary. It's great." And so, okay, I'm not really a big sports guy or nothing, but he said, "You've got to get it." So I got it, and I watched it Saturday or Sunday when I got back. And today I gave it to my boss. I said, "You've got to watch this." And there's a coach in Tennessee, Memphis, Tennessee, inner city kids, and basically they're down. They've never been in the playoffs ever since 1896, and they're just a poor school. And anyway, they are down. They have this negative. They're down by 20-0. That's their second game. They lost the first game, down by 20-0, and they're like, "Okay, this is going to be another one of those seasons." And what he said is my new mantra when the going kind of seems tough and things are negative is, he says, "You have an incredible opportunity." I don't think they ever would have saw being 20 down at halftime as an incredible opportunity. And I just love that. I mean, so when, you know, something kind of hits you in the face, wow, this is an incredible opportunity for good, you know. You're weird for good, you know. So you have an opportunity, incredible opportunity for good. So I'd encourage anybody to I don't know if it's on Netflix or not, but yeah, that is such a great documentary about character and about what this guy did for these young men. So.
Well, that's awesome, Michael. Thank you for sharing that. I'll be checking that out for sure. And we do have an incredible opportunity. So between now and next week when we talk, hopefully we see some of those opportunities and we choose to feed the side of us that's going to be, you know, loving us into making the most out of those opportunities. So,
absolutely.
Yeah, awesome, man. Well, thank you. I think we've done a great service today by sharing ourselves with some people out there that are going to watch this. And I thank you for being with me. Again, Michael Wright is the blog author of fatherofone.com. And my blog is, of course, weirdforgood.com. My name's Aaron Nichols. And we thank you all for being with us today. Michael, thank you for your time and energy, sir.
Absolutely. Have a great week.
All right, man. You too. Thanks, everyone, and we'll check you next week. Bye.
Bye-bye.